Good evening, ladies and she's done it again. She's done it again. She plays you as we stop. She's done it again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hybrid Squad. It's Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 30. This is going to be a good one. Let's roll. Happy hump day, everybody. I got the day right today. I said it was Wednesday yesterday, but it's actually Wednesday today. And my Australian listeners bailed me out yesterday, didn't they, Super Kev? Super Kev Campbell, welcome back to the show.
They did. They did. They did bail you out, but you did rectify it. So that was good.
Thank you. And PG is back this Wednesday. Welcome, PG.
Oh, hello. Nice
and
to be back.
Of course, in the house, our special guest today, Mr. Don Robbie from AFTV. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
We appreciate you being here. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, by the way? How are you coping during this lockdown? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. You know, I mean, obviously missing football, like, you know, like real football, I call it, like crazy. And I had COVID, so I know, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world to have. So, but yeah, apart from that, you know, coping, man, there's a lot of people out there really having a tough time of it at the moment. So I think I'm kind of lucky in a way in that we're still able to still do our channel, even though, you know, even though we can't go to games. So, and it's still great to be chatting to football fans, you know, in the UK and around the world. So I'm coping, but I would love to see football come back. I just miss going to games.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, are you having any like after effects of it, by the way? Because a few people I know who've had it have kind of suffered a little bit post as opposed to going through it when it's in full-blown mode as well. Are you okay kind of post it? You don't have any kind of ramifications of it?
No, I've been fine, you know, actually. I mean, when I first started getting the COVID, it was actually around Christmas. Christmas Day, I was in my bed half of the day with COVID. So, you know, the first thing that really struck me is that I just felt so tired. No
lethargic,
energy.
Lethargic.
Yeah. Like, I remember I came home one day and I had to go straight to bed. And then I just had, like, no energy. And then I had a bit of... I didn't really have a lot of the other symptoms. I didn't lose taste or anything like that, but just, like, absolutely shattered. And then a bit of the shivers... bit of like some pains, and I had that for say probably about 2-3 days. Went and got tested. After a couple of days they said I was positive, but then after about the third, fourth day I started coming out of it, and then I was actually probably okay after about the fifth day. But you know, you got to isolate for 10 days. I was so bored because you're not allowed to, you can't even leave the house, you know. So but I'm one of the lucky ones, really. I kind of got through it unscathed.
And yeah, that sounds quite like medium compared to what most people have gone through.
Yeah, and then since I've sort of got over it, I've been absolutely fine. So yeah,
that's good.
But it's not great. It's not great. it does knock you for six for a couple of
health
days.
Health is wealth, man. Health is wealth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, trust me. I just did a 14-day detox because I said to myself, I want to be healthy this year, and I got challenged. But it's this guy called Dr. Amsu, who's a big Arsenal fan that I met in America last time we were touring out there. And they were doing this thing called a Great Black Detox, and he wanted me to come on it. So I said, all right, I said, I'll join it. And then when he started telling me, he goes, like, no food for 14 days, no coffee, no tea. I go, yeah, well, what do you have then? He goes, yeah, just water and coconut water. And then they give you these supplements. And I go, are you mad? I go, I can't do that, man. And he goes, no, come on, have it. He goes, and he was saying it kind of gives your body a reset and everything. And I actually did it. I finished it last week. Well, Sunday gone, I finished it. That was my 14th day, and I feel good for it. You know, so yeah, I'm trying to treat health seriously this year, man, because
good for you, Robbie. Good for
this
you.
Thing ain't no joke. I lost my uncle to it the other day. It's not no joke. So you know, and you know,
sorry
so
about
many
that.
People
sorry
out
to
there.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear
yeah,
that.
No, yeah, it was really sad. And, you know, and then so many people, you know, the first time it hit, I didn't really know many people who had it. There was like a few, you know, one of, it was like, what, you had it? Like it was some massive thing. Like, this second time here, around this time, I've known loads of people who've had it. You know, it's been rampant, you know? So,
I lost my aunt and uncle as well to it, Robbie. They both passed away in the space of 10 days. That was brutal, you know. So there's so many stories like that. And the great thing about it is we created the lockdown series because we knew, and you go out every single day as well. And I know that you've got various shows, and I know that you probably get a ton of nice DMs and emails, and I know you probably get your fair share of brutal ones as well. But to know that, you know, we've been helping people, and the notes that we've been getting during this time going out and just talking about football and connecting Arsenal fans from around the world, it's meant the world to us especially. And it's actually helped us as much as we've helped people as well. And I'm sure you've found the same, right?
Definitely. You know what? When the first lockdown came, and remember that was the brutal lockdown when there was no football at all. Mm-hmm. This one, in comparison, lockdown-wise, for us personally, is not as bad because there's still loads of games going on. But when they did the first one, when there was absolutely no football, I kind of got my team together and I said, listen, what we're going to do, we're just going to concentrate in this period in communicating and connecting with fans. Let's just do that. That's the only remit. There's no other remit apart from that. And it was really good. You know what I mean? And again, just like you were saying, Soph, we had so many messages from people saying, you know what, thank you. You've kept us connected. I've been going through a few little, you know, mental health problems, and just listening to someone just talking about Arsenal, just talking in general has helped. And like you said, it helped me as well. Just to, you know, you're at home and you can still, that's why I say that it, like, we're kind of lucky because we can still communicate with people. We can still be, you know, communicating with people around the world. And what that, when I got COVID at Christmas and I had to do the actual isolation, that's when I realized that, hey, you know, I mean, if you imagine, I was like, imagine some of these older folks that have been like shielding for a year. How have they done it? I mean, I found the 10 days tough. So, I'm just grateful, like I said, that we're still able to do our thing, you know. We can still, even though we can't go to games, it's not quite the same, but we can still talk about football. That's the one thing.
True. And I know everyone's missing the Emirates, and obviously it's European week and everyone wishes they could go to the games. I think we're getting closer. It looks like England's kind of going to start reopening step by step by step. And the goal is that every single fan can get back to watching their team at some point. And before we kind of get stuck into some nuts and bolts, Robbie, I just wanted to get your take. Obviously, you've talked a lot on your channel about Mikel Arteta, the team. Seems like we've found a little bit of a groove lately. Great result against Leeds. We go into this Benfica match tomorrow, high on confidence, maybe found a little kind of rhythm going with an ESR and a Saka and an Odegaard and stuff. What's your take if you're giving Mikel Arteta like a report card so far this season in terms of what you think he's done and where he's going?
Do you know what, right? Like, I think he's probably got like a 6 to 7 out of 10. Probably a 6. I think what's happened recently, he's actually now finally found a style of play. With Emil Smith Rowe coming in, now he's got Odegaard. I think now all of a sudden I can see an Arsenal team out there trying to play, try to attack. Earlier on in the season, it was kind of like he just followed through with what helped him in the FA Cup, which was like that 3 at the back. And we were continuing with that, and there was just no creativity. But since Emil Smith Rowe's come into the team, all of a sudden now we look a completely different team. We're attacking. We're exciting again. I mean, that Leeds game, I was excited watching that first half. It reminded me very much of when we watched the first half in Wolves until the referee changed the game. So it was exciting, attacking football, on the front foot, pressing, you know. And I think, you know, what I then started to look on it and say, right, let me look at his sort of overall this season. He's actually, without really getting the position in the table, he's actually done a lot of the things he said he was going to do. He said that if anyone ain't down with the cause, they're going. Guendouzi weren't down with the cause. A couple others, they went. He said he's going to have to clear out certain players, you know, even when the window came. He said, he actually said, for the first part of it, I'm going to get rid of guys. Then the last part I'm going to bring in. He actually did that. He got rid of Ozil. I was surprised. I thought Ozil would go at the end of the season. He got rid of Kolasinac, Mustafi. You know, he actually shifted these guys out. I was really surprised. So, you know, it's a very painful transition at the moment. And I guess, right, with those guys earlier on in the season, even though I think they were fairly professional, I don't think they were really rocking the boat as much as maybe they could have done. But it's never good, and Kev will know more than me because he's an ex-player. It's never good to have four or five guys just sitting around, no chance of getting in the team. They're going to be whinging. They're going to be moaning. It's not going to be good for the general energy around the team. So he got rid of those guys. He's moved them on. And now all of a sudden, it seems like he has kind of in place the guys he wants to work with right now. And as I said, you know, Smith Rowe, I think that's been like massive for him. He's come in and all of a sudden now we've hit a style of play that starts to resemble Arsenal again. And he was doing well up until, as I said, that Wolves game. That was the one when I was thinking to myself the other day, I wonder if we would have won that, what would that have done for us? Yeah. You know, hadn't have gone the other way, you know. And then the Villa game was a bit of a lackluster affair, but we bounced back very well against Leeds. But now is the big test. The game's coming up. This is the big test for Mikel Arteta. Because you know what? Number one, Europa League, chance of winning it, but it's very, very difficult when you look at the teams that are left in it. And then even in the league, chance of a top six finish possibly, which would be a step up from last year, which then you'd be able to say it's a bit of an improvement on finishing eighth. That's up for grabs because, you know, this is such a mad season. The Man United at the weekend drawing with West Brom and things like that, these mad results. So if any team that goes on a run this season, you know,
yeah,
the two teams that are right near the top, City, Man United, they've both been on long winning runs or were, and that's where they are. So it's how he finishes the season, but there's some tough games coming up. So I'd say probably at the moment, a six. I'd love to see him turn that by the end of the season into a seven or eight.
KC asked a really important question on his segment yesterday, Rob, and then I'll hand it over to the guys after this, where he said, it was a juxtaposition of a question because the first part of it was, you know, do we really believe that the board will back Mikel Arteta this summer? And then the second part to that was, if we don't bring in the reinforcements and if we don't build around this team and this incredible crop of talent that we've got coming up, probably the best we've seen in years and years, how long before our rivals come in for them? What's your concern about the investment that we'll make in the summer from what you're hearing too? And how do you feel about holding on to the Sakas and the Martinellis and the ESRs? I think the biggest concern for a lot of Arsenal fans is Martinelli maybe not being a first choice for Arteta and if he's going to want to go and seek first team football. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I guess with those players, the one good thing about Arsenal, they've got them tied onto some big contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, over the past couple of years, it might have been Martinelli with a year left or something like that, you know. So at least we know Martinelli, Saka, Smith Rowe, these guys have got long contracts. So we don't have to let them go unless some ridiculous offer comes in. And even then, we shouldn't be letting them go. We should be building around these players for the future. I'm a bit worried about the summer because I just get the feeling that it is based upon where we finished. If we finish outside Europe, will he get the funds to do what he wants to do? And I also feel that it's going to depend on him moving out players as well. You know what I mean? I saw rumours today that, you know, he could be looking to sell Guendouzi and players like that. So I think it's going to be a bit of juggling. I don't really expect them to give him like loads of money. I guess last season they did get Partey in. But these owners, they've been here for a long time. And the evidence is not really there that they spend big. They don't go massive, you know, or every now and again they might do. So he's going to have to be very smart in the transfer market. I don't think we're going to get, you know, that huge investment. And especially when you look at the club in, you know, laying off more people even recently. So I'm a bit worried about it because these owners, they don't, I'll be honest with you, they don't fill me with confidence. Because they've been in charge for a bit. I think people forget sometimes how long they've been in charge And ever since they've been in charge, we ain't won the league. We ain't got nowhere near it, really. So what's changing? You know? So I really want to see what, you know, I think when the summer comes, they've said they're backing him. That's when we're going to find out if they are or not.
Okay. So, yeah, we will have to wait and see. But let's just go back a bit, Rob. Okay, off of the Arteta and stuff. Let's talk about AFTV and how you started. What year was it? Because then we come on to the fact that when I started with you as well. How long have you been going?
We've been going now since we kind of started 2012/2013. And yeah, that's when we started. You know, I was a lifelong Arsenal fan, obviously. And I just wanted to do something that would where we could see Arsenal fans on video having a, you know, discussions about Arsenal. And I remember the first game I did it, we played Tottenham. That was one of the game we beat them 5-2, you know, and yeah, we got off to a good start with that game. You know what I mean? So yeah, so it's been quite a while we've been doing it.
So
I often look on it and think, wow, I can't believe how long it is.
I know. I was looking back on some of the videos that I did with you because I needed to get the year. It was from 2014. So literally only a year after you started. So for the people that don't know, I did the big Arsenal discussion with Robbie and Giles. Giles was our host. And we used to have guests on similar to this, but we were actually in a studio. And we did that for a couple of years. It was mad, wasn't it, what actually went on and how brilliant it was. And obviously then you grew from that and then you went in a different direction. But I really enjoyed my time and I just watched one of the quick videos back of something. Mems was on with us.
Mems.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
We'll talk to Mems. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Mems has got great opinions.
And we're going to have Clive on. Do you remember when Clive came on the...
Clive Palmer.
Yeah, he's coming on here in a couple of weeks. And I think that people on our pod will love him. He's fantastic, isn't he?
He's a very opinionated and dedicated Arsenal fan.
Fantastic.
Knows his stuff, man. He should coach.
I know. I said this to these two.
He should coach, man. He should coach. His knowledge, honestly. He should coach.
But we had such a great time and we had, you know, one of the videos got over 50,000 views. I couldn't believe it. I just looked at it tonight and went, oh, my life. But anyway, moving on to that, what people don't know but they do know is that one of my favourite ever Arsenal games is 89. And when the 89
They know,
but they don't know the next bit. When the 89 film came out, I was promised a ticket via a friend who withdrew that ticket and I didn't get the chance at that time to go. I didn't think I was going. And then you rung me up, Rob, and you said, I've got a ticket for you and your dad. And I went, great, thank you. But there's a but. And I was like, what's the but? And you went, you've got to interview everyone. And I said, I'm not an interviewer. You went, no, you come and do it. So I came up to, what was it? The old cinema in Holloway Road.
Yeah, it was a cinema on Holloway Road, yeah.
And I was buzzing because it's 89. I don't really care about interviewing anyone. I just want to see everyone. I was going to stand next to you. That was it. You were going to interview everyone and you just literally gave me that mic that's in front of you and went, go. And I went, oh, what do I say? But I had the best, second best brilliant. Footballing night of my life. I interviewed everybody, Rob. The only person I didn't interview, because you gave me the whole team, the whole squad, was Jack Wilshere when he turned up. And you interviewed him and I stood there and I was like, I cannot believe I've spoken to Adams and O'Leary and, oh, my God, when Mickey Thomas come up to me and Ian Wright, I was like, but I will never forget that you gave
that's
me,
nice.
Honestly, Rob, honestly, and I still look at the videos now of all the interviews and all the, like, most people thought we were getting married, you know that.
You know what, right? You were brilliant on that night. I'll tell you, I remember... The reason why I asked you to do it, right, is because obviously I know you've told me many a times about your stories of going to the game at 89, right? And then, like, obviously I got a ticket. I got the tickets and stuff like that. And when I got the ticket, I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, obviously, I'd love to do the interviews. But I'm like, Amanda, she was there. I wasn't there. I watched it on TV. I'm not going to. There's many people who try and make out like, yeah, yeah. I was there. I was there. Right. I'm like, no. I admit I wasn't there. I watched it on TV. It was a great moment. But I was like, Amanda was there, right? So I feel that Amanda is the person to interview these guys. So she's going to have, and I was, you know, my judgment was right on it because you were brilliant because the way you was talking to them, you could tell you was there. And that's what you were saying. You was like, oh, you know what? I was there when you was talking about things that I would never have asked them, right? Because you could only ask those questions if you're actually there. And I thought you was brilliant on that night. And I remember you did a great interview with Alan Smith. That was great.
But that was something you laid on me in the pub one day, months before that, because Alan Smith was there and
yeah,
it was something else, nothing to do with 89. And then I got to interview. I just went, don't have to interview anyone.
No, you were brilliant. You were brilliant that night. And he was the perfect person because, as I said, you were there. You were there. And I didn't think it would be right for me to do it. I was like, nah, you were there. You're going to be talking strictly from the heart because you, and I could tell I was just watching you and like all the memories were just flooding back to you. You know what I mean?
Even KC was in the stands that night.
I was near Amanda. I was near Pete
Prince. It was below me. Not that we even knew each other, but I'll never, ever, ever forget the opportunity you gave me to me, Rob. Considering I'm not an interviewer, I'm just a fan. And honestly, when Mickey Thomas came towards me, I had to go at him. I said, you couldn't have scored the first one, could you? You had to wait and be for all of us. I was going home, Rob. This is the story. I said to my dad, we're never going to win. He's missed his chance. Let's go. And my dad looked at me and went, we don't leave early. And that was it. And can you imagine if I'd have left? I would never have forgiven myself ever. Geez. But so, you know, thank you so much for that.
You smashed it, man. You were brilliant that night. And
that was also the night that Highbury and Heels launched because you let me do that on AFTV as well with Sophie and the other girls. And we launched that night and you interviewed me in the end about the podcast that was coming up and here we are now, half of Highbury and Hills, me and her.
And you guys are doing brilliant, man. And you're so consistent with these podcasts, which is great.
Robbie.
We appreciate that, Robbie.
Thank you,
Robbie. I've got two questions for you. I'm going to take it even back before then.
Okay.
You tell, obviously, listen, we're all fans. So when was your when did you first start supporting Arsenal? And what does Highbury mean to you?
Started supporting Arsenal in the late 80s, right? So when I say started going in the late 80s. And I used to go with my cousin. Mm-hmm. And I used to love going. And, you know, obviously, I remember from the first time I went to watch Arsenal, I was just bitten. You know what I mean? It was just like the crowd. The atmosphere that I was just like, I love this, right? And at those times, I was doing a lot of music.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get all the time to go every week because, like, you know, I'd have shows on a Saturday night because I was like a reggae artist.
So you're traveling, isn't it? So you're traveling or whatever.
I'd have to go to shows and that. But I used to get to as many games as I could. And then what Highbury meant to me was just like, it was just unbelievable. I mean, we won at Highbury. We used to win things, right? I always say to people, when people say to me, what's your favorite ever Arsenal game? I always say I don't pinpoint one game. I just pinpoint the season when we went invincible, right? That season, I just floated to games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just came out of that stadium and I was on a high every game. Out of the train station. And I was on a high. I was floating to the ground because I knew that we had the best team probably in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it was just so good, man. And like, you went to away games. And it's not like when you go to an away game now, you go to an away game now, you might be going to Burnley and people are like, you know, I'm not even sure, you know, Robbie. You know what? I might even take a draw. If you said to somebody in that season, take a draw, they slap you in the head and go, are you mad? Every place we went to, everywhere we went to, we're like, we're winning this.
Robbie,
I know how these City fans feel now. That's how I felt then. You know, so I miss those days, man. I miss those days, you know. And even though the stadium itself, you know, wasn't as nice as the Emirates, you know what I mean? I remember sometimes I used to be in the North Bank, I had to duck down to see when there was an attack, you know, like you at the back. You had to duck down to see the attack at the other end. But I loved it. I loved it there, man. You know, and we played some brilliant football there, and some of the legends that have come out of that. So, I mean, Ian Wright was my absolute, when I first started going to watch Arsenal, he was my guy, man. He was like, when he scored and he did that Bogle dance, me as a guy in the reggae, that was it. I was like, I've told Wrighty that before. I said, from you did that.
Connection, that's the connection, isn't it? Yeah, that's the connection.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, I loved it there, man.
Robbie, you know, the connection, what I always talk about now is, you, as a fan, and everybody in chat could probably hopefully relate to this, and the ladies can as well. Back then, you could relate to that squad going across that white line and you could trust them.
Yeah.
We haven't had that trust in the team for such a while now, have we? And I think that's why sometimes the fan base is unbalanced, because we haven't had a team to call our own for donkey's years.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess, you know what, some of it comes from winning. I look at the Emirates, right, and I say to myself, would it be different if we'd have won a title there at some stage? Would it be a bit of a different place? Because it's just looked upon, especially by older fans, as a place that we've moved to go downhill. I mean, there's nothing you can... You can't look on it and say, oh, my amazing experience. You can pick out individual games, but we ain't won nothing there. We ain't won a title. You know, we've not won a title at that ground.
And but unfortunately, Robbie, we were sold a dream, and it wasn't a dream.
Yeah,
it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
And it's turned into quite a few people I knew when we were leaving Highbury thought that was going to be the case. But most of us were really positive. We're going to a brand new ground. We didn't want to leave Highbury, but we thought we had to progress.
I have to admit, I was positive, because I was like, so you know what? This is the next great step.
Yep.
We need a bigger ground.
Yep.
We need a better facility. When I first saw the stadium, I was like, wow, this is gonna... I took the dream. I was like, this is... We are going to compete with everybody now. But they didn't back it up with no... You know what I mean, I always look on it, right, and I think that they only had one plan. In business, you've got to have many plans. It's like, if you've got a business now, you might have, a couple of years ago, planned to do something, and then the pandemic's hit. You've got to switch your plan up. You got to come with something else, because there's some things come around. I just feel that they went into the Emirates, and everything... They thought everything's going to be the same as when they was at Highbury. So it's going to be us and Man United. And, you know, we'll be able to... No, but they didn't. Chelsea came around and we didn't react. We didn't say, well, right, you know what? Actually, we were looking to kind of spend less money on players and get... But actually, now we're going to have to kind of switch that up, because Chelsea are here and they're spending big. And then Man City came around and they haven't switched up again. They've not...
But there were times, Robbie, there were times also when... As bad as we were business-wise, and as bad as we didn't build on, especially the Santi, Ozil, Sanchez era, probably the best we've seen. Maybe we had three chances in that time in the first 10 years, maybe 12, 13 years at the Emirates to win the league, and we didn't. The Leicester, the Welbeck header, I thought everyone, we all thought that was going to be the year. We all thought that was going to be a slam dunk after, you know, we beat Leicester. And so for all the misgivings of the club not investing, the manager also didn't galvanize the team enough or didn't do enough strategically, tactically, whatever you want to call it, on the pitch to kind of make us, you know, more predatory in games, more ruthless in games, a little bit dirty in some games. We were always too nice, too nice, too nice. And it was reflective of the Emirates. Everything was pretty. Everything was nice. Highbury had that edge to it, didn't it? Someone wrote earlier in our chat, people lined up in the tunnel at Highbury and they knew they were beaten before they even got on the pitch. So we became this too nice a team. And I'm hoping under Arteta a little bit, you know, we've kind of gotten people can want to rag on Luiz, and I get it, and you know, Pepe getting the red card, and I get it, and Guendouzi and what he did at Brighton, I get it. But everyone has a little dirty in them in order to win the league. Even City, as pretty as they play, Liverpool, they have their little tactics, the Salah diving, all that type of stuff. We've just been too nice over the years, haven't we, really?
Yeah, it was very nice under Wenger. And you are right. I still think, though, I still go back and think to myself, they didn't invest. They didn't. I look on it and I say, if you are an owner of a football club and you want to win, and you can taste it. So you're getting, you know, you've got off to a great start of the season, and January comes. You know what I mean? It's not even a matter of you leave it up to Arsene Wenger to just go and buy a Petr Cech. You say, nah, man, what do you need? We now got to have a big chance of winning this league. So here's the funds to go and get what you need. And I just felt that these guys, the Cronkies, have been comfortable with coming forth. It's just been a business thing. Roman Abramovich wants to win. We might fault him for sacking managers, and I don't like sacking managers every minute, but it's because the guy wants to win things. He's not interested in second, third, fourth. He's not interested in that. He's interested in winning.
That's the difference, okay? Abramovich is a football fan. The Cronkies are not. They're business people. Exactly. So where you're saying, a fan, why don't you just go out and get... If we were on the board, we would be giving Mikel Arteta our last pennies to go and get who we needed to get. They're not football fans. They're businessmen.
Yeah, David Dean was a businessman, but a fan as well.
Yes, we need both.
Yeah, hold on a minute here.
Here he comes.
Let's not take our eye off the ball, because you know what? Arsene Wenger was our most successful manager. He is the man in control of it. And he should be the one who sees. Yeah, he's the one who should see. Do you know what? These guys are spending money, and look, we've got a chance of winning it. For how many years? Centre-half and centre-midfielder we've needed, and it never got addressed until the summer gone. What is it, 12, 13 years? It's ridiculous. So I understand about the Cronkies, but you can't put everything on their toes when the manager has won. He's won the titles. He's won the treble. He's done the invincible with the gold trophy. He knows what it takes, and he never addresses the problems.
It frustrated me, Kev, right, with Arsene Wenger, because like you're like, this guy's such an intelligent guy, and I can't tell how many times, right? Like, I go to games here, and like everybody you speak to, almost universally, like, you know what? If we just had a defensive midfielder,
yeah, exactly.
That's what we need. Get a defensive midfielder and a centre back now, we'll win the league. And these are men like me and just ordinary people who don't, you know, we ain't no football guys. And we're like, and then come the transfer window, he wouldn't do it.
Robbie, even opposition fans say,
they've got the same. So Rob, I want to kind of circle to that era and that time. And our listener questions are coming in for you. I know we have you for just another half hour, so I want to squeeze in as many as we can now and hand it over to our listeners. Get your questions in, everybody, for Robbie from AFTV here. No matter what anyone thinks of AFTV, and there are people that love it and there are people that don't. It's like Marmite, okay? It's very polarizing. But there's no doubt that what Robbie did with AFTV galvanized and created a movement in football, and how people were able to create their own channels and fans became the voice for the club. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad, sometimes it was beautiful, and oftentimes it has been toxic. And I have to ask you this question, Rob, because Alcott brings it up, and he wrote earlier, he goes, he's a huge fan of you and he really loves what you've done with the channel. But during that time at the Emirates, when we weren't great and we went through all those difficult times, it was definitely the rise of AFTV. And oftentimes you've been criticized for capitalizing on that. And at the same time, you're also building a channel, and YouTube is kind of becoming this beast in its own. And, you know, you're just going outside of the stadium and getting fan reactions. And some of them were and have created personas in themselves, whether it's right or wrong. So Alcott's question is, having the biggest Arsenal channel on YouTube, do you sometimes understand how big of an influence you have on Arsenal fans in general, good or bad, love from Sweden. And it seems like you get a lot of love, but some of the characters that you've had perhaps don't. Can you help us understand that time, that era, and how you feel like that's looked upon in terms of what you've built at AFTV?
Yeah, listen, it was sometimes very difficult because, like you said, at times we're going through a very toxic period. You had fans that absolutely adored Arsene Wenger, and no matter what, they felt that, you know, should stay completely loyal to him. You had other fans that felt that his time was up and that he should go. And us trying to be a fair platform, we wanted to, you know, this is what football's all about. People have different opinions. We wanted to give people a chance to have their say. Now, some people were very harsh on one side, some people very harsh on the other side. But I just feel that, you know, if you even took us out of the picture across all platforms, you know what I mean? There was a lot of toxicity. I can never say that word, right? You know, and there was a lot of, you know, back and forth between the fan base, because that's how it was at the time. And I think that we just reflected that. So it's always really difficult because you don't want to make it seem like you're having a pop at the club, because this club, we love this club. And some of the accusations sometimes I get thrown at me that, oh, you're only doing it for the money. And I bet you hope Arsenal lose, and all this rubbish. I come out of Tottenham one day. I was really upset that we lost. It wasn't even a loss. It was the draw. Remember when Aubameyang missed the penalty?
Yeah.
And some idiot comes up to me and he goes, yeah, you're glad, ain't you? Because now you're going to get... I said, I felt like punching this guy. That's the first time. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, you dumb. Right? But, you know, it was a very hard balancing act. Sometimes with us, we've got certain things wrong even in that time. But this has been a journey for us as well. We've had to learn a lot of it as we've been going along, because no one had ever done it before. So, but I feel that, you know, we enable people to have their say, whether it be on one side or on the other. And if we're being a fair platform, we have to allow people to do that. We can't say, right, you know what, actually, because you're going against the grain, we're not going to let you talk. That's that fan's opinion. So that's all we did. And it makes me laugh sometimes when I hear, like, I'll hear, like, even some of the traditional media criticize us when they're doing exactly the same thing. You know, you'll have a station like a Talk Sport. They're not even an Arsenal fan, and they'll be like ringing, you know, should Arteta go or stay? What, you know? So I'm just like, listen, we people have to be sometimes fair with their criticism. I remember the time we was in, you know, I never asked us to go through this period. When we set it up, the majority of fans at that time were backing Arsene Wenger. I'd say, if I did done a poll around about that time, I'd say when we first started doing AFTV, he had 90% support of the fans. Even fans that felt a bit indifferent about him, he had a lot of credit in the bank with most fans, and they felt loyal to him. As years started to go by, that started to drop. And we just reflected that with the people that we interviewed.
There's a great question from MK. I'm trying to find it, because one of the things she was saying was, do you feel like channels like AFTV became a threat to those national mainstream media channels, i.e. now people and fans go to YouTube and fan channels for more of their source of information? And she was talking Uber, like Netflix, you disrupted everything.
Yeah.
And I think MK brings up a good point in that, you know, there was almost like a class system where we're the national media, and they don't know, they're not trained journalists, they don't have anything, but yet the rise was real because the fans reacted to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are disruptors. And I mean, funny enough, I did a talk yesterday for the London School of Economics. They had us on, and that was the title of their whole talk, Disruptors. And we kind of disrupted a traditional industry, and with allowing fans to have their voice. And I have to say that at first they really looked down on us. I don't think they do as much now, but they really, really looked down on us at first. Excuse me. And they thought that we were just, I don't know, I just got the opinion sometimes that some of the things they said, some of the way they delivered what they were saying about us, I'm like, you know what? You really don't understand AFTV. you really don't understand the fans, because, you know, if you did, you'd be trying to learn from us rather than putting us down. Now, you know, look at you guys. You're doing this podcast right now. I would rather hear from you guys than some of these journalists, because, you know, you guys are Arsenal fans and you're talking from the heart and you're talking with knowledge. Like we said, even when I'm talking about Amanda earlier on, she was there at 89, right? There's, so you're talking from the heart. So I like to hear from other football fans. It's no put down to journalists whatsoever. My brother's a journalist. My brother works for BBC. My brother's like, we were kids, and he's a journal. He's a top journalist. He was head of sport at Channel 4. You know, so I don't put down journalists, but I think they need to learn from what we've done, you know? And basically, we've used new technology to enable us to have a voice. And that's what we did. And it's not just AFTV. There's podcasts like yours. There's loads of different channels now to loads of different football clubs and loads of different people doing podcasts. And we know, once upon a time, like if you went back 10 years, say, for instance, even not even once upon a time, you didn't really have that. Mm. You didn't really have that. What if you did have, you know, a type of AFTV type medium when, you know, Arsenal was going through some of their tough times in the 80s?
I'd have loved you to be at Anfield.
You know, with Bruce Rieck was there, you know. Or Anfield 89. Or
can you imagine you being outside at Anfield 89? It would have been incredible.
It would have been incredible. Yeah. So
the best thing ever.
People sometimes have got to understand, like, we've taken this new technology and we've created something with it, which lots of people are doing now. And I think it's a great thing. You know, I think it's great to hear from fans, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes I used to, when I first started doing this, right, I swear, that's one of the reasons that made me set it up. I get very frustrated. I talk to guys like you, and we might have different opinions on the game, but we'd be more or less talking about the same type of, and then I go in here like a pundit, and I'm like, I can tell you ain't been to the game. You've just sat down and watched the, because I can tell you, I've been one time to Match of the Day, for instance, and what they do is they have a bank of TVs, and they don't even watch one particular game sometimes. They might be watching several at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas we're only watching one game. We're there at the game watching that one game.
We're
not going to have the knowledge, obviously, of a ex-footballer like Ian Wright and Alan Shearer and these guys. These guys, their knowledge is brilliant, and they know the game inside out. We don't, but we have got the experience of watching games
as fans
for many years as fans, and we do know a lot more. You can't just put us down and say, yeah, they don't know nothing. That's not true. We do.
That's why we love the juxtaposition of our show, in that Amanda and I see it from like the fan point of view, a little bit me on the media side, but then we've got Kev who gives us the player and takes us inside the dressing room, which is a totally different perspective. I'm going to ask you this question because I know you've come on and you're willing to answer all the questions, and there's a couple of tough ones in the chat. Robbie, why put out interviews when fans are abusing players and manager? I feel like there's less of that now. There was more of that previously. But also, is it just them being honest versus abuse? Because in the past, I think people did feel that way.
Yeah, we've had a couple of cases in the past where, you know, we probably made mistakes where it was abuse. It was a couple of like videos we've done where there's a kind of a line to draw. Somebody can be really angry and they can really have a go at a player or at a manager. But there's a line you shouldn't cross. And I guess there's been a few times in the past when we've kind of crossed that line and we've tried to get better at that. But we don't, as I always say, we don't aim to, you know, like a guy said to me the other day, he goes, you keep having people come on criticizing Willian. I go, what do you want me to do, man?
Should have listened to our show.
Not playing, oh,
that one up there, not, that one.
The guy's not playing well. He's been terrible since he's come. And if you're terrible, right, not many people are going to come on and say nice things about you. I can't do nothing about that. I can't. He's got to try and turn it around. If I turn around and say, right, we're not going to let no one come on to have a go at Willian, then I'm not being, you know, I mean, that's not a channel where you're allowing people to have their say. That means now I'm imposing what I wish on them. Come on, have your say. If you don't think Willian is any good, you can say he's not any good. Just try not to, you know, don't cross that line.
But one thing, sorry, Rob, one thing that's been aimed at you is the fact that you prefer it. Well, let me finish, because you prefer it when we lose because you get higher viewers on your videos than when we win. Now, I know you personally, and it's utter rubbish. And I tell everyone that, whoever talks to me about that. But we find on here that we get much higher views when we lose. That's not our fault. None of us want us to lose. But when we win, it is slightly, the atmosphere obviously is completely different. People want to come on and vent, and not so much so when we're winning. But to have that aimed, and anyone that's listening to this now, I know Robbie, he is as distraught as us if we lose. It's not his fault people want to vent more than that. Yeah. That's always aimed at you, isn't it, Rob?
Always. And you know what? And it kind of all, the whole thing as well, it all depends on the game. The biggest games for any platform are the biggest games. So if we play Tottenham, it's big. Win or lose, it's going to be big. If we play Man United, like we did the other day, you know what I mean? Apart from nil-nils, we always hate a nil-nil. That's never good, right? For any, right? But where you get a spike sometimes in particular is like, say you play West Brom, like we played them the other day. If we beat West Brom, it's kind of a standard thing with a lot of fans. They're like, yeah, that's expected, right? If we lose to West Brom, that's unexpected. So then you are going to get more people come on and say, hey, what's going on? Then, like you said, you know, that's just, there's nothing we can do about that. It's the same for Match of the Day. That's why on Match of the Day, they put the dead games on last.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why if Man United lose to West Brom, that's on first.
Yeah.
They don't put it on last.
Right.
So why is it? I said this to a media guy. Like, I'm not going to name the actual media person. He was trying to direct the same thing at me, and when I said that, he's there like, oh, okay. And then another one said to me, he goes, oh, well, you got guys like these guys like DT, come on, and they're having a rant. And I said, yeah, well, look, I'm watching Sky. They got Roy Keane on. Why is he on there for? He's not got the greatest, you know. I know he's an ex-player and that. We all know why Roy Keane is on Sky. He's a very controversial, outspoken guy.
He's there to cause controversy. Yeah.
I really do find it hypocritical sometimes when I hear some of these accusations. It's like we're the only ones that have a controversial person come on or an opinionated person. When we have someone like that, it's a problem. When they do it, they were smart. I'm just like, no, come off it, man. You know what I mean? And at least our guys are, they're real guys that go to the games week in, week out. So, you know, we can't predict the games. We can't predict how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I always, you know, counter everybody and say, listen, we go to all games. We go to games sometimes that other people look at as meaningless. They're like, you know, I was saying to the guys when I did that talk yesterday, I go, I remember going to a game about a year and a half ago in the Ukraine when the country was under martial law, right? And that was minus 17, it was. Meaningless, man. Europa League, early in the rounds. We were there. We were there. And even when you do videos in a Europa League game in the early rounds, of course, it's a Thursday, but because it's not a massive game, by the time it comes out, the videos come out. By the end of sort of mid-Friday, everyone's talking about the weekend's game. So it's not financially, it makes no sense. But I see it as a duty for us to be there, to be telling people about every Arsenal game. Mm-hmm. We should be there. So if I did it for money, I could chop those games. I could say, no, forget that.
Just one more on the channel, Rob, before we get back to some football talk here as well, because it's come up in the chat. And I want to ask this in a, you know, in the most honest way that I can.
Fire away.
When you see kind of what Troops is doing on his new channel, it seems like there's a bit more calmness to your channel now. How do you feel about that? What's your thoughts on that? Because quite a few people have put in the question on some people love him, some people don't. And it seems, you know, like there's a lot of controversy in some of the stuff that he's doing now. He's someone that was a huge part of your show, and I know that you guys are friends too. So how do you feel about the stuff that he's doing now versus what Bay TV is now without him?
Yeah, listen, Troops has moved on to do his thing in America. And I'm cool with it. I'm like, you know, good luck to him with what he's doing. You know, I can't control these guys in what they want to do with their career, and I've never tried to do that either. You know what I mean? They came on as fans, some of them, and they've grown massive. And Troops is a real character and a very opinionated character, and he was a very loud and very, you know, but I one thing I can say for Troops, right, is I've seen that guy cry tears when we've lost. When people say about, oh, he's, I saw some people the other day saying, oh, he got T-shirts printed with Arteta out or something like that. I'm saying to these people, right, I don't think that was, number one, I don't think that had anything to do with Troops. And number two, I am telling you that I was at Baku when we lost to Chelsea and I see the guy crying. And I go, you crying? He goes, yeah, man. And he goes, I come all this way and I just feel so let down. And the guy was just, and I've seen him on many occasions, absolutely deflated. The guy loves Arsenal Football Club. He may put it across in a different way to me and you, but he's still a fan of the football club. He still loves the club, whether he be in America, whether he be in London. That guy loves Arsenal, right?
Rob, you know what fascinates me? I know Troops as well, as you know. And what fascinates me is this aim at all of you, and you know I know all of you, is that you're not Arsenal fans. If you're not Arsenal, I know, I find it hilarious as well. If you're not Arsenal fans, Rob, why are you spending your money going to games? And I see you all in the ground. So people that say you're not in the ground is rubbish. Why would you spend 24/7 talking about something that you don't know anything about or you're not a fan of? I do feel, you know, I've told you in the past certain interviews I've not enjoyed and I think you were wrong to put them out. That's my opinion. But at the end of the day, you're right. You can't control them, but you can control what goes on the channel. That's for sure. But to have that, to level at you that you're not an Arsenal fan is bizarre in my head.
Do you know what, right? What it is, Amanda, I always remember my mum, yeah? My mum said, if you spend all your time listening to fools, you're a fool too.
Yeah, true.
So when people chat rubbish, like, I don't even, you know what, it goes through one ear and out the other, I don't even bother. I'm like, yeah, if you think I'm not an Arsenal fan, if that you really think, cool, that's up to you, bro. I'll get on and do my thing, you do your thing, and we'll just be cool like that. You know, I've heard a lot of ridiculous things. The thing is, right, a lot of it comes with when your thing becomes really big.
Yeah, of course.
You guys, you'd have it and be, oh, I love so, and I love Amanda. And then you can hit a million and all of a sudden that Amanda, man,
no, she's already getting it in chat, right?
She ain't no real Arsenal fan. You know what I mean? Listen, honestly, unfortunately, it kind of goes with the territory sometimes. You know, you as a person, you know who you are.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. That's the most important thing. People around you who are around you all the time, they know what you're like. They know how you really are. And that's why I say when I go back to the thing with Troops, I've been abroad with that guy. That guy's, no one's paid for him. He spent his money. And the guy's crying his eyes out when Arsenal have lost. That's a big man.
Robbie, the Arsenal Los Angeles folks just actually wrote in the chat that they remember many times where you guys have come over here and you've paid for on your own dime. And I think, you know, that's not me sucking up to Robbie or being up Robbie's arse in any way or any of us. We've got to tell both sides of the story, right? And there's always two sides.
And this is
the Arsenal Los Angeles guys saying.
Yeah, I love those guys. They're Robbie, great guys, man. Yeah.
Robbie, let me ask you this, because I don't think many people will ask you this. You know, under Arsene Wenger, and obviously end of last season, when we have had success, what's the response been like?
Yeah, good one, Casey.
It's been the response has been amazing. So like when we won the FA Cup, you know, the response was amazing. We had like millions of people watching the content. It was brilliant. It was fantastic. Anytime we have, even if just on individual games,
yeah,
the you just got to go and look at the numbers. So anybody who says, oh, they only win and lose, go and look at the numbers of some of the big wins that we've had. Like when we, as I said, won the FA Cup. But if you're a hater,
yeah,
you don't really want to. You don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, you don't want to see it. Your agenda. Yeah.
That's why I'm like, you know what? I'm not trying to, you know, you can't please everybody. You know what I mean? And everybody has a right to like something and not. Listen, I turn on my TV. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
Not every program on there I like. That doesn't mean it's good. I don't like Strictly. Do you think the people who are doing Strictly
don't tell Amanda you don't like reality TV. She's like a selling sunset chicken.
I don't like Strictly. Do you think the producers of Strictly care? They're doing quite all right, right? And they're doing something very successful. And the people, they've got loads of people who love it, right? So, but I don't diss Strictly because you know what? It's just something, it's not really my kettle of fish, but I'm not going to diss it and say, you know what I mean? Because they're obviously doing something good, right? So that's the difference.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love it. Okay, you guys, you're listening to the Highbury Squad. We've got the Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 30. We've got Robbie here from AFTV Media. We've got him just for a few more minutes. We're going to switch it back to football. But did you want to finish off your... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were going to say people...
I've forgotten now. It's all right.
Okay, that's fine.
It was about all the FA Cup and all the response that you get from the success.
Yeah, yeah, I'll tell you what, Kev, right?
Is there ever any stick, Robbie? Is there ever any stick?
No, you don't.
Even though you get success.
You know, for instance, when we won the FA Cup, there was no stick.
Yeah.
So it's only like, it'll be a loss now, then somebody will be blamed. It's like, I was on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I lost the ball and then they run through and scored. You know what I mean? So I don't waste time with it, Kev. But I'll tell you one thing, right? Going back to that FA Cup, for me, as a person, like all we were, all locked down for most of the year. That was the highlight of my year last year.
We
were very lucky that we got to, we did a partnership with a box park in Wembley. So we were as close as we could possibly get to Wembley. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, man, it was amazing. There was like about 500 Arsenal fans downstairs in the box park. And then upstairs, we had like this room and there was probably about 60 of us in there. I mean, I had hundreds of people checking me. I said, no, we got a social distance. And I'll tell you, it was the atmosphere was it was the next best thing to being there. And I really have great memories of that day. It was amazing, amazing.
That's special, man.
Yeah. And to, you know, in a season that we all thought was, we were done for. Yeah. You know, and I was really pleased for Arteta because, you know, let's all remember, rewind back. He was like one of the first high profile football people to get coronavirus.
Yep. COVID,
It was like when he got it.
He shut the league down, didn't he?
Yeah, so.
Always Arsenal.
Yeah, so for him to lift that FA Cup, and I think that's why we're kind of really been disappointed early on in the season because we went into the new season with a lot of optimism, you know, because we were like, won the FA Cup, Arteta's our guy. But I think we forgot that there was still a lot of transition and work and that to do. And I hope he is going to be our guy. I really do hope he is going to be our guy. I mean, the jury's still out. It's not, you know, the jury's still out. But, you know, I really hope he succeeds, man, because, you know, I'd love to see, I like to see when any sort of young, hungry managers are coming through and not the same old Mourinho and all these. Oh, come on, man! Want some new, you know?
Let's talk about this. We've got you for what? How many more minutes have you got, Rob?
Because I'll give you like 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, lovely, perfect. Because here's the scoop. We want to know. We got some major games coming up. You know, we've got City in the league. We've got the North London Derby coming up. And of course, tomorrow night, we've got Benfica, who I'm happy don't have Diaz anymore because maybe it gives us a chance to win. I said this to Casey on the show a few nights ago. What do you think? Let's start with the Europa League tomorrow night. There's some really good teams in Europa League this season.
Yeah.
We do need it. We're putting our eggs in that basket. Can we get to the final, let alone win it? What's your thoughts?
When you look on paper, no, because you know there's teams way better than us. Like even the English teams that are left in it, you'd have to say out of the English teams left in it, we're the ones that the worst out of the four at the moment. But you never know in the cup. You know, no one thought we'd win the FA Cup. We had to get past City in the semi-final, Chelsea in the final. I remember we got to the final of the Europa League. Was it Valencia? We had to beat Napoli and those sort of, you know, that wasn't an easy road to get there. So, we can, but we're going to have to really pick it up. And we're going to have to, I think we need to get players like Partey back playing. And first of all, we've got to get past this. Benfica is not going to be easy. They're a team with a lot of European pedigree. Mm-hmm. And although, you know, I was very worried about the fiction, and I did a show the other night, and I had these guys from the Benfica podcast on. And after hearing them talk, I'm a little bit more confident now, you know. at times, I thought they were talking about Arsenal, the way they were talking about, you know, how the team's declined. They're a team, apparently, that play a very high line, and they've got, like, Otamendi and Vertonghen as two of their centre-backs. So that fills me, after seeing what Aubameyang did at the weekend and the way we pressed Leeds, if they play that high line, I'm feeling pretty confident that we can get a result. But we're going to have to be on it, because if we're not, you know, we went out to Olympiacos last year, remember? Right? Yeah, so if we're not on it,
it's brutal.
We don't bring the A game, we could get knocked out. So, but certainly Arsenal have what it takes if things go our way and we're all get Partey back, get Tierney back on a regular from now till the end of the run of that. We've got a chance, but it'd be difficult because you have to look at some of the team. AC Milan's another good team in there with Ibrahimovic, and they're playing really well. But
Unai is still in it too, Robbie. Unai is still in it.
Man United, Leicester.
Yep.
I think, you know, that wouldn't, you know, Leicester over two legs wouldn't be easy. Any of those, Tottenham over two legs, you know, much as,
but we're,
you know,
a cup
we hate
team.
Them, and that wouldn't be easy over two legs with Mourinho parking the bus, and we know what he's like. That's not easy. So it's going to be a hard, hard competition to win. But you know what? To win these type of competitions, they're hard.
Yeah, Kev, we agree with Bob, right? Because we've always said, and we're a really good cup team the last few years, aren't we? We know how to operate in cups versus over 30 plus games in the league, you know, those focus games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it's a weird.
We struggle with
it. But then the other thing is, you're right, Kev. And then the other thing is about it's just weird. I don't even know what to think this season, man, because like they're playing these two legs now. What's the point in even having away goals?
I know.
All the games are away. You know, I don't know what to think, man. I actually said to the guys from the Benfica podcast, right, I said that actually I feel it's an advantage to Arsenal playing Benfica behind closed doors, because we would have had to have gone to their place. It would have been raucous. They would have had full of crowds. Then they would have come to our place, and the amount of Portuguese people I know in London, right, they would have had loads and loads of fans there as well. Yeah. So they would have been a bit like when we played Olympiacos. They had massive support there. It would have been similar. So that might even favour us a bit. So I think if we could get through the Benfica game, who knows, man? It's a cup competition. And look what Arteta did last year against all the odds.
A question for all of you before we get to the Premier League. No. I don't think I could take this, Robbie.
No,
Casey and Amanda.
I don't actually think I could watch. I would be hysterical.
No, you know what, right?
I'd have to immigrate if they won that. I'm
like you guys, man. I couldn't handle that as a final.
No, not one bit.
I couldn't
Bring it on. Come on, Arsenal. I don't care. Come on.
Talking about Spurs, actually, I remember, Robbie, when I saw you outside Spurs, you had more Spurs fans come up to you than Arsenal. Do you remember that when we was outside?
They weren't coming up to say hello, though, were they?
No. Yeah, I stood behind you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the... Because you know what? There was many other people that I looked... They were gone.
They were gone, yeah.
I was right there, Rob. I was right there.
No, they didn't back you. They didn't back you, Robbie. Oh, man. Robbie, you've seen so many things, haven't you? You've seen so many things in your AFTV life. Have you got anything you want to share with us that we might not know?
Oh, what, funny moments and that? You know what?
Is yeah, whatever. Yeah.
A funny moment, right, was at Tottenham, actually, right? I'm walking down the high road before the game, and this policeman come up to me, and he stopped me. And he like, quite abrupt, stopped me, and I go, yeah, what have I done? And he leaned over to me, and he goes, he opened up his, like, his uniform.
Yeah.
And he had, like, one of them Tottenham cockerel things, and he goes, oh, so shit. And just walked off. And I have to admit, man, I nearly died laughing. It was funny.
Oh,
it was
man.
Funny, man.
That's but, funny. That,
no,
that's
you know what? There's been so many great experiences doing AFTV, man. Like, I just can't even pinpoint one. It's just been a fantastic journey, man. I've really loved going to different countries and meeting different fans of different places, because I'm going to admit now, and I've said this before when I've gone abroad, right? I used to be, when I first started doing AFTV, I used to be one of those little bit, not terrible, but one of a bit of a snobbish fan. When I saw fans come from abroad, I was like, yeah, what do they know? They don't, you know, they're not from London, they're tourists, yeah? When I started going abroad, right, and I started, when I started going abroad, right, I was just reading that guy's comment about I was the ex. When I started going abroad, Kev, right, and I start to speak to fans abroad and the knowledge that they have, yes. I was like, hey, these men are telling me things I didn't even know. I can't even remember that. And then I started my appreciation of the Arsenal fan base abroad completely changed. These guys are knowledgeable. These guys wake up at ridiculous times to watch Arsenal. And they don't just do it on a one-off game. They do it every week. People in Australia, one guy I remember, he said to me, he goes, oh, when I was watching the game, then I had to rush to work. I go, what do you mean rush to work? I go, well, you work in the evening night job? He goes, no. He goes, that Saturday evening game, he goes, that's like morning. Like, I've got work to go to. I'm like, I didn't even figure that. You know what I mean? And these guys are passionate Arsenal fan. And you know the other thing is as well, why they're so knowledgeable sometimes, right? They watch every game. They watch more Arsenal games live than we do. Because remember, until this season, you don't see every Arsenal game on TV live. So unless you go to every game, you see highlights of the majority of Arsenal's games. Half of them will be on live, half the rest are like match of the day, 10-5 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys, when they live abroad, they get every game live, full 90 minutes, so they can analyze it and they can study it. And I've been so impressed, man. Like, I think
She gets all the games.
I think, you know what? I'll tell you, like, where Sophie is in America, the fans over there, I love them, man. They're so knowledgeable. Australia, Singapore. I'll tell you,
Africa,
I went to China.
Honestly.
Africa, China, trust me, man, you'd be blown up. So I had to start apologizing, saying, yeah, I'm sorry. And then one of the things I always started saying is, like, you know, one of the things I'm a bit proud of on AFTV is that we've been able to highlight that, start to show fans abroad in a different light. The people, forget all this plastic and tourists. These are Arsenal fans. The only difference between them and you is that we're nearer the ground. We can get to go. If they had access, they'd be there too.
Yeah.
So that's been a massive eye-opener for me, man. And I love going abroad to meet those fans, man. Because as I said, you know what I mean?
How good was that last US tour, Robbie?
That was amazing. That was amazing. I remember that tour started.
You went to Gunagra too, didn't you? Mike from Guna Podcast is talking about you.
Gunagra, man.
I want to go to that.
I missed Amanda. You got to go to Gunagra.
I know. I will.
When I tell you, right? Again, you know what I love about those fans in America, right? It's like they'll have. I spoke to so many different opinions. Opinions as harsh as ours, yeah? But you see, when it comes to coming together to do stuff, they put all that aside and they come together and they put on an event like Gunagra. Trust, and that event is Piv, you got to go to that.
Listen, they locked me down. They stopped me going the last time. What are you talking about, Robbie?
You got locked down. He was going to go.
They locked me out.
Yeah. And then, and the tour of America was on, but everywhere I went, I remember we came out of the ground in Washington and we started interviewing fans. And I swear to God, we had about 1,000 fans around us. And they had a helicopter flying over us, right, the police, and they were shining a light down directly on us, right? And then the only thing over there, and I'm not too up to those police out there, though, man. That's one thing. Like, one police come, the police come, and he started like flashing lights in my face. I go, yo, what's up? And he goes, you can't film me. I said, all right. Like in England, you normally say
rules. You got to get licenses and rules, and yeah.
Yeah, you say to the police in England, you say, okay, sorry, what's a good place? Because we want to work with you. What's a good place? And they'll go, all right, Rob, you know what? Take it down there, just around the corner. You know, we're trying to clear here. But in America, those police.
You just go, yes, yes.
So I said to the guy, I go, yeah, where would you like us to go and film? He goes, I don't care where you go. Just get the fuck out of here. I was like, Jesus Christ. These men got their hands on their guns and that. I'm like, yo, I'm going.
Like, yeah, yeah, I'm off.
No messing around.
Yeah. But Washington, Denver, everywhere we went, Los Angeles, they were brilliant. Everywhere, man. It was the fans in America. I think we went to Charlotte. The fans were incredible, man. It's always, I can see why us always going to America, because you know the fan base is really strong.
They haven't christened the new Kroenke Stadium in LA yet, so hopefully that's going to happen soon. They always come and play at the Home Depot, so it's happened. It's got to happen.
Yeah, Sophie, I saw that when they were. So when I was out there, I got a good friend out there who I met through Arsenal. Steve Manius, right? And he took me down there one day. He said, "Right, I'm going to show you where they're building this." At that time, they were still. But I've seen it completed now. It's amazing. And when I went down there and I saw the size of the, like, even the plot that it's on, I'm like, this is where all the money's going then. Oh, this is why we're selling all our players year in, year out. This is where it's going. And then the other day I saw the stadium, because Sophie, it's the most expensive stadium in the world.
Oh, yeah. It's like a scene out of Star Trek. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's unreal. It would be a really good backdrop in a Star Wars or Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, I see it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
And then the man don't want to give us no money. You know what I mean? It's all there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's also married to one of the wealthiest women in the country, and they got some taxpayer money for that too. But that's a $5 billion plus stadium. It makes Tottenham's new stadium look like the toilet in my my bathroom over here.
It looked like that anyway.
Let's get you out on this then, Robbie. Where do we finish in the league? What are your expectations?
Boy, you put the hard question last.
Save the best till last.
I think we could get sixth. I think... Had we won those Villa, if we'd have beaten Villa and Wolves, I might have been a bit more optimistic of doing something crazy, maybe getting top four. I do think any team that goes on a run could end up anywhere this season. But if I'm being honest, I think the best we could hope for this season is sixth, because we're just still a bit too far off. And we'd just be too reliant on teams. I mean, a load of teams would have to have a catastrophe. So I think sixth.
That's fair.
Listen, I think many, many fans would take six, Robbie.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, many fans will take six. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I mean, we've had a lot of people come on the channel saying that they'd rather not be in Europe next season if we don't get in the top four. But I'm not with that. I think this is Arsenal, man. We want to be playing in Europe. So I sixth, you know, top four would be, but again, let me just remind everybody, do you remember last season, when the pandemic hit, Leicester was second.
Yeah.
Everyone thought they're going to finish second. They ended up finishing fifth. Man United were nowhere. People were talking about Ollie, including me, getting the sack. They ended up finishing second. Anything with this lockdown thing and all that. And what did United do? They just went on a run.
Yep.
And next minute, you know, so But can we go on that run? That's it. You know, I mean, the games we've got coming up, City this week, Leicester the week after. There's some tough games.
Robbie, the key is beating some of those teams who we want to catch. If we can beat some of those teams above us, then it gives us an opportunity.
If we could go Sunday, Kev, and beat City, I know everyone's just laughing now. But if we could do that, yeah, that's the sort of game that could set us up for a great run, because then that gives you the confidence to beat everyone, don't it? But
of course it does.
Do we have what it takes to do that? And then I said to somebody right at the start of the season, I go, if you look at Arsenal's squad, sixth is about the best you could hope for as well. You know what I mean? Anything apart from that, we're overachieving, because we haven't got a better squad. Let's be real now. I mean, let's be honest, yeah? We don't have a better squad than Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, as much as I hate to say it, right?
City, Spurs, City, United.
Right, United, that's five
arguably
clubs.
Arguably Leicester.
That would make it six. We're not much better, really, than Everton. So, you know, when you look on it, sixth to eighth is about where we should be with the current squad. That's what I'm saying. In the summer, I want them to give him the tools to try and challenge, you know?
So, Rob, we've come to the end of the show. We've loved having you on. Will you come Thank on you. Again towards the end of the of season?
Of course
I know can. You will. Because, you know, otherwise I'll just nag you.
Anything for you, Amanda. You know,
I know.
You know what I love about Amanda as well, right, Kev? Right, she'll just come to me, right, and she'll just tell it as it is, man. She don't care. She don't care if I'm vexed. She don't care. But I really respect you for that, Amanda. I really do, man, because you're. What I love about you, just an honest person. And if I do something on the channel you don't like, right, or if there's something, you just tell me. I respect that. I respect that.
Thank you for that, Rob. And I love that because I'm like that in my working life in every respect. What you see is what you get. Really, what you see is what you get. I will, if you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. If I don't like something, I will say it. It doesn't really go down well with everybody, but that's just
I can
me.
Take it, man. I've been on the end of a lot of
and you know, but you know, deep down, Rob, you are a great guy. I've always said it, and and I'm always honest, as you know.
Nah,
and
thank
I'm
you
so
very much, man. I love your dad as well. Big up your dad, man.
Yeah, Gooner,
proper,
Kelvin.
Proper Gooner, that man. Old school, obsessed. Old school.
Oh my god, he's got a crush on her. That's for sure. But
I remember he said to me, he goes, I don't like what you do and that. I don't like it, but he goes, you're one of us.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. Oh, boy, in life, Rob, there's an on-off button. You don't, as you said, you don't watch Strictly, you turn it off. Don't like you, you turn it off. It's horses for courses. Everyone is entitled to have, you know, and also that everyone's had their say in our chat room tonight about whether they like you or not, whether they like what you do. We get it as well. There's people that don't particularly like us. I get that on social media, and people that love us. That's absolutely great.
Listen, you two do a brilliant show, man. And congratulations, man. You know what I mean? And as I said, the consistency of what you do it. And then Kev's my guy, man. You know what I mean? This guy, you know, he doesn't have to do this stuff.
No, he doesn't.
I see Kev on so many people's stuff as well. You know what I mean? Kev, big up yourself, man. You know, Kev knows I love him, man.
Yeah, oh, we love him.
Of course.
But for the fact that he does it consistently with us, consistently.
And without asking for anything.
You know, and that's another thing that people were accusing you of being paid by us tonight. And I had to put a tweet out saying, he's never asked for a penny, and if he did, he'd get a slap.
That thing the other day annoyed me, right? Because I don't normally get upset about some of these things, but it's some kid. And then he's gone on to do another video since, right? And I could show people the groveling apology the guy sent me. And I don't even know this guy. But you know what? I mean,
welcome
to fame.
I don't know how many.
Robbie. Welcome to fame. You're famous now.
Kev, you know how many channels I've been on and done stuff? And
yes,
I know.
I said the other night when I did my show, I went on a guy the other day. He's got a Doncaster Rovers channel. They're not even in the Premier League. He hasn't got a big channel, but I was like, Don Costa Rovers, I go, brilliant, man. I come on. I want to see people like that, you know. And then you got these, honestly, man, it's, if people got time to, people got time to listen to these people and clout chasing people, that's up to them. I've want to do what we're doing and just keep being good at it and try and improve at it and just be successful with it. So,
and you are doing thanks so for having well.
Me. Thanks for having me on, right? And I'll even voice you after the show, yeah.
And you know for a fact what answer you're going to get, don't you?
Don't worry. Yeah, you could give your invoice to Amanda. She'll collect.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be in my shredder.
One slap.
Yeah. Robbie, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, man. Thanks appreciate a lot. Thanks for answering all the hard questions, too. Take care, man.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers,
bye, Rob.
Bye. Well, a lovely guy. Listen, he's always been top guy.
Always.
But I'm just so pleased all the people in the chat could hear him talk, because I don't think they hear him talk enough.
Yeah,
because he is proper Arsenal, you know.
You know, I never understood when I used to see them all at every single game that I went to at Highbury, the Emirates, and then at away games, that people would accuse them of not being Arsenal fans. It used to just, I used to just go, oh, okay, why are they in the ground? For what reason? You know, but anyway, listen, as I've always said, and I said it in the chat, if you don't like something, you turn it off.
Our chat is so funny. So Newman and Rob and all of our regular listeners, will you pay us to be in chat? Hilarious. And then
Newman,
and
then Steven, no.
Now let's chat shit about him. Hilarious. These guys are so funny. You know what? We've had a really good look. We've never ever been afraid on this show to invite people on that are polarizing and that are from opposing teams. Even back in the day when Amanda and I first started, we had Ryan Giggs and Gary Lineker on the show. Not a lot of people dug that. We've had Jason Cundy on this show. Mm-hmm. We've had people like Warren Barton, opposing players, Sean Gota. I mean, we've had a lot of people, journalists who write for other publications, opposing fans. Get ready. We're going to have a Tottenham fan on this show for the North London Derby. Because that's where you get great content. It can't always be a love fest.
No. And
I actually think tonight our listeners asked some really great questions of Robbie, and we took him to task about some of the things that AFTV have been kind of labeled for, you know. But at the crux of it, like Amanda and Kev said throughout the show too, you know, he loves Arsenal, and yes, Arsenal was toxic at the time, and unfortunately, people love car crashes, you guys. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of the world that we live in. We've seen it. I mean, I just watched a documentary on Britney Spears. Everyone loved that car crash. Yeah. Media loved it when she shaved her head. They fed on it, you know, and that's just how it is. Whether you like it or not, I know. Listen, Matthew, stop it. I've put you on a timeout twice and I've let you back in. And here's why. You could be disappointed all you like. That's okay. We'll still love you. You can come back and listen to the show. And if you don't want to, that's okay with us too. All right. But thank you to all of the fans who asked good questions tonight and created some really good debate in the chat. PG, before we go.
What I was just going to say was, it's funny, isn't it, that Talk Sport never get lambasted for doing the same thing. You know, Adrian Durham at 4 p.m. every day. I stopped listening about 4 or 5 years ago, but at 4 o'clock, he had the Daily Arsenal.
It's to gold.
You know, yeah. And you know, Robbie just gives fans a chance to talk. You may not like it. Let me tell you something. In the 80s, when we used to stand outside Highbury, we said far worse. And I was there. It wasn't recorded. It wasn't social media. On the way home, in the cafes, we said far worse. We are football fans with passion. Sometimes passion overspills into anger because you love your club so much. You're so distraught. If Kevin missed from 2 yards and I'd have a go at Kevin, doesn't mean I don't like him or rate him. I'm just fuming with him at that minute. And that's what happens when you come out of a game. I just quickly go into it. I don't do the interviews after a game with Robbie. I did it once. I came out of Tottenham. Harry Kane had just scored. I was on my own and I was fuming. And he grabbed me and said, come on, do it. I went, no, I don't do these. And I did it. And it was the worst thing I've ever done. Because if you've ever seen me, the second we lose or draw, I am like a nightmare. And that is what fans are like. So whoever didn't like, I haven't seen whoever's liked this chat or not, we wanted to bring Robbie on for you to see him as an Arsenal fan. You don't like AFTV? Fine. That's up to you. Millions do.
Right. Before we go, you guys, we have to give a very special shout out to our sponsor, footballprizes.co.uk. They wrote us and said that you guys are picking up your tickets left, right and center, which makes us happy. We're going to give away a free ticket. I was going to do it tonight, but we're going to do it tomorrow night instead, after the Benfica game, okay, because we're running out of time tonight. We'll have a really good question for you for tomorrow night. You'll get a free ticket. They'll give you a number, and then you go into the auction draw on Friday to win. There's only one.
Wow.
Dennis Bergkamp signed, framed shirt, right? You can go and buy your own ticket. It's $4.95. It's a great deal. And there's only 100 tickets given. So you've got a superb chance of winning it, okay? Tomorrow night, we're going to give the ticket away. You'll go into the hat, and our good friends at footballprizes.co.uk will make sure that you are taken care of. One of our listeners went into the draw last week. Unfortunately, he did not win. A listener wrote me today, you guys, and said, so if I bought 4 tickets, I'm going to be the winner. So
I hope it's one of our lot. I hope it's someone in our chat.
I do too as
Come and tell us.
I do too. Super Kev, we're going to be on tomorrow night after the game with Mike, our good friend from You Are My Arsenal. You're on after the Benfica match, right?
Yep.
Does everyone want to do a quick fire prediction for tomorrow night?
Yeah. 2-1, I think. 2-1. Arsenal. I think we're starting to turn a little bit of a corner. Obviously, we need to be more consistent, but I just think it's our time, and I'm going for a 2-1 win.
Brilliant. PG?
I'm going 2-0. Whenever I go for a win, we don't win. No, I fancy 2-0 tomorrow night. It's strange. Is this the one in Rome or Athens? Where are we?
Rome, I think. Athens right. Is next week, okay. I believe.
It's ridiculous. Don't start me on that. We haven't got time. But go on.
No, Sunil, it's not. This is global, by the way. Thank you for reminding me. They'll ship anywhere in the world. You can enter from all corners of the earth. That is the absolutely brilliant thing about football prizes. So go over to the website and grab that. Listen, thanks to everyone for listening. Casey, thank you so much again for being here with us tonight. That was some good stuff. Boom. And you know what? We'll be back tomorrow night after Benfica. Come join us. Hopefully we'll win. I fancy 3-1 maybe tomorrow night, guys.
I like that. I'll take that.
Yep. Until then, PG, let everyone know.
I'll let everyone know. I'm going to let you all know. It's always Arsenal.